giving lectures to the teachers in the Avanti school. That is such a wonderful project.
Really, I want, before we start, to share this with you. We had 80 teachers who teach in our 7 schools. Imagine, 7 schools which have 3 principles. The first principle, I think this will be interesting for Analakshita. First principle, Analakshita, is good education. Just the second principle is a character formation. Dass der Charakter gut wird von den Schülern. And the third principle, imagine, is spiritual insight. Now, our German society is maybe not open for the last principle as of yet. Spiritual insight in a public school? Ooh, that's a tall order. That's ziemlich viel verlangt. But in England, it is all right. So from... But you need to understand, the Avanti school system is only one little building block in what we are working on the last few years. Maybe you hear it the first time, but I'm the spiritual mentor of a group which is very much following Prabhupada's line, but which is separately organized from ISKCON. It's not under ISKCON's GBC. Although there is no problem that they don't want to be this or so. No, but it's a unit which is so specific and so. Let us say, yeah, so different from everything else that it doesn't fall under our. It has its own management. Let us say like this. Ned, you know me. I very much appreciate the service of the GBC body, but I also feel to be relevant. For the needs of many people, we need to have a little bit more inclusive vision, maybe. And this Pandavasena does have this. What is there? Well, first of all, there you could see, you could say there is this group of devotees who organizes preaching in the university, but delicate preaching, modern preaching. It is called Krishna societies. There are many Krishna societies. The last time I looked into it was 35 university, but it's really now we have so much manpower, we can expand like anything. So then those who appreciate Krishna consciousness, they come into the main body of Pandavasena, where they will be welcomed by a system which is called mentorship system. That means everyone will be accompanied in his spiritual path, not just by the guru, because they are not everyone is yet ready or willing to take the initiation into our Gaudiya line, but they have mentors who help them by counseling, advice, and so on. They're trained to do this, and you can imagine from these well-cared devotees, amazing talents come out. There is, for instance, maybe some of you follow him on Facebook. His spiritual name is Ganeshyam Priya. His name on the Facebook is Jay Shetty. When he makes videos which are looked upon by he brings out a video, and then you can see next day there are 1,200,000 clicks on one lecture which he gives. It's inconceivable to us. What is the...
Let me say how far this reaches into society. And there are many other talents like this, because this type of setup
is really attracting very not just monks who can and want to follow a program like the early morning, you know, our sadhana program, which each one of you knows it is, you know, knows from their own upbringing in Krishna consciousness. So we have now Pandavasena, which has many outreach programs. There are programs you can't even imagine. They're called jamming session. Jamming means the young people come together and they talk about what?
General lifestyle.
Lifestyle questions, for instance.
How to prepare for your exams.
How to prepare for your exams. What to do when you fall in love. You know, things which are of interest, you know. How to deal with a new app on the mobile telephone. But from a perspective which is the spiritual perspective. Jamming. Krishna societies. You have all kinds of things, then they come and like, oh, this is far out, this is very good. And then they enter, then they are cared for with mentors, kind, older devotees who have time for them. And from there they go into, some go into what is called a sabbatical. They stay for 6 months or they want a year in the temple just to have an experience of the monk life. But it's limited by time. They can also stay for the rest of their life, but that's not the idea of this program, to make lifelong monks. That's not the idea. Most will go into, you know, will educate themselves and will go into a professional life, because most will enter the Grihastha ashram. And now, we used to not be able to keep these devotees who go after some time out into the world. But now we have a school for them, they can become teachers. Now not everyone is that type of person. They can become staff. Staff means to run a school. You can ask Analakshita. There's a whole system, many people behind it to run. It's not just the teachers. But obviously not everyone will fit into this. So another job opportunity is a restaurant chain. We are now opening. It's a real innovative concept. Om Nom, it's called. Om, you all know. Sacred syllable. And Nom means it tastes good. Isn't it? Like this, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, like how you would say.
Yummy. Yeah. Modern, you know. Modern. But it's not just an ordinary restaurant. Of course, it will have the best vegetarian cuisine, if possible. But there are also, people can come for lectures, because modern persons, when they come to a restaurant, they want to go also on internet, and they want to meet far out people. They are not just coming for eating. It's like, and so on. They can go there. And if Krishna wants, we will create many more opportunities. Maybe we will invite Vishwadev and that he teaches all of them how to make prasadam. You know, the because some fit into that mold. No? So this is a very, very exciting. It is, and anyone can who is open to for spirituality can go with this and stay with it, and be part of, yeah, putting some light into the society, some inspiration, some something good for the benefit of others, something which is more aware than much of this materialistic development, which is so selfish and so unaware, really. So, yeah, it's really, really very encouraging. So I was there because, yeah, I'm somehow part of it. I told to Gaura Hari, I'm not qualified. What do I do there? I do what I always do. Talk about Krishna consciousness, you know. But they want this. They need this, and they somehow are very happy. And, yeah, so there I was for 2 days. Jup, jup, jup. Then coming back to Radhadesh. And now I'm here finally. Tomorrow I will have a day of rest. And then we will celebrate rest day. Hare Krishna. He talked of Nandini. Ananya Bhakti. Yeah. Große Seele. Verstehst du eigentlich Englisch, Ananya Bhakti?
Ja, beide.
Beide sogar. Super. Ja, so I'm very thankful to Agastya Muni and Ananga Manjari and Mohana, and the small one was Lalita, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lalita is also somewhere in the ether here. That they are more Lalita. That they invited all of us, and me also, I mean, invited me and all of you. I'm very happy because something comes through which I was speaking a lot about with Vishwadev, a more community centered approach to Goloka Dham. You are all in the community, you are servants of Radha, or connected with Radha Madan Mohan, and yeah, it is very nice for me to visit you at home. I was only one, can you imagine the scandal? I was only one time in my life here when we made a little ceremony, and the house was just coming to Ananya Manjari and Agastya. And I still remember the hedge, the hecke. maybe it's not even there any longer. Or
yeah, we ripped it out. It was in front of the...
Yeah. I remember. It was such
it was little... giving pleasure
on
the whole thing.
Yeah. I was remembering this. It was a very impressive hecke. So then this is the first time since that time. I guess I remember it was 2006 maybe where we had this. So I have thought to do this evening like gestalten, to design this evening like this. Would like to do a little kirtan with all of you, and then I have thought of presenting to you something which is different than I do in my lectures. I want to address a subject, something which happened to me and where I made a big discovery in my life, in which I believe it's so positive and helpful that I would love to share this. Hare Krishna! Herzlich willkommen! So let us please start.
Maybe Agastya, we can ask you to play Mridanga. Is it? Oh, the Jai Gopal is that. Sorry. Jai Gopal ist mal Mridanga.
Könnt ihr euch vielleicht alle noch ein kleines Stückchen Richtung Maharaj bewegen?
Oh. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Thank you. I think we need a bit of Luft.
Da ist vielleicht. I actually remember this whole idea of doing home programs is of course a very old idea. I think you do it since I remember there was a time when our Chota Radha and Krishna visited devotees at home and there was a program. But just recently with me, it was Madhusudan's idea actually. He invited me first to come to his apartment because he was a team of the Sharanagati team for a long time and went on into pursuing his life maybe in the future as a Grihastha like this, and he came to Vishwadev and he looked for different job opportunities and decided that's the best. He invited me to have a little fest to inaugurate his apartment. But then we found out more devotees were interested to come than this little apartment could host. Then we needed to find an alternative place, which we eventually found. Tanya's apartment was wonderful, and we felt it was such a good atmosphere, and Ananga Manjari and Agastya are our kind hosts today. Thank you very much. It's really, let me say, this was my life. I was visiting people for many, many years at home as a Namhatta preacher, and then somehow that stopped, and now I feel in my element. Ganz im Element. I was thinking what to share with you, and I want to share with you a secret about me which no one should know. My father felt a feeling of deep, deep guilt for his participation in the Nazi regime under Adolf Hitler. He felt really, oh no, so many people had to die because of the ill-founded, that's a polite word, die schlecht begründeten reasons why the Germans were the Herrenrasse, the best people on the planet. And so many, and he was part of a lot of war activity and an unpardonable homicide, Menschenmord, to so many Jewish people, that he really felt, I must do something to make good. He's like a cultured person, when he sees he has made a mistake, he wants to make it right, make it better. And one of his ideas was to serve people by transporting them, and that's how he joined the Bundesbahn and then became a director within that. Interestingly, it's not state-owned, it's privately owned in Germany. So he became and he thought the family which he would found and his sons should be also servants of the German society. And when I became a monk of the Hare Krishna movement, there was
two times a blow on the solar plexus. First of all, his beloved son went away, and second of all, he didn't participate in the German society, but came into an alternative society, something which exists just on the side of the society. So twice he felt, we would say in German language, ein K.O. He felt really punished by his bad activities in the past, that his son became a devotee of Krishna. Now, his education, when I was not yet a devotee, was all geared towards one goal: to make me a good, responsible, contributing member of society, mundane society, worldly society. And he had high goals for me, and I remember whenever I came home, because I was not so interested in school, I had enough. I had too many more important activities to do, as I thought at that time, than to learn my subjects. When I came home with bad notes, he would always try to educate me by punishing me. And it was in my system from the early childhood on that I must be good, I must reach goals, I must... In other words, I grew up in the school of ambition, material ambition. And when I joined our movement, Prabhupada saw we young people were also so immature, and we would compete. I don't know if the men and the ladies know this, but male people have an aggressive gene to them, and they like to compete amongst themselves. Who's better? Who has better results? And then there is someone next to me who does better. I'm envious of him. I heard Mataji's also sometimes feel like this, but male are especially programmed to compete, to be good, to achieve, and so on. And Prabhupada used this in his immature things. He had competitions. You needed to, we were rewarded when we were good in Sankirtan and made good points. Even preaching became a competitive thing. You got seeker points for every person you made a scalp, shaved them up with a little hair, like the Red Indians. In this way, I somehow did not get rid of this very problematic attitude that I think life is valuable when I have reached a goal, and I think life is wasted if I have not reached it. This inner values of, what is your relationship with Krishna? How often do you think of him? Do you feel something like the beginning stages of love for him? It was really in the back of my mind for many, many years. And I still, if I'm not very conscious about this thing, suffer a little bit if I don't reach my goals. For instance, I'm writing since many years on the Vedic Way, and it's not yet out. And if you see me, I work like a madman, impelled by this idea. If I don't bring this out very soon, then I'm really wasting my life, and who am I? It's a compulsive attitude, an attitude where you make yourself so much pressure, unnecessary pressure, to reach your goals. You could do that also, and in spiritual terms, you must chant so many rounds, and if you don't reach the goal, you are useless. In personal affairs, if you have that bad education in you, as I see it nowadays, that you must achieve, you can kill yourself in anything by putting so much pressure on you to attain things. And so this is something which no one should know about me, but something which in this circle I share, because most of you know each other since a long time. I'm a driven person, eine Person, die innerlich einen großen Antriebsmotor verspürt. And some of it I think is good. I think it's good if you take spiritual life serious. But some of it is really bad by trying to define your life's value in how much you reach goals and so on. That is external, that has nothing to do with the real ideas of bhakti, where you develop a loving relationship with your love. In matters of love, my dear devotees, do you think when you really love, did another person earn enough money? Did he earn enough money? Did he reach the goal? As a parent, when you really love your child, which I think every parent does, do you really measure the child's worth by his or her notes in the school, by these external measurements? Of course not. Do you think in bhakti the Lord measures you by your so-called presentable achievements? This is wrong. This is a materialistic concept brought into our life by a materialistic attitude, a blind attitude, as I see it now. So anyways, I was working on my... When I returned from my pilgrimage to Vrindavan, which was really nice, I was already afraid, if I come back, I will just... I will think you were away from your writing desk and from developing the Vedic way. Now you really have to give your best. So I didn't even take a little time to arrive. I just started to write and dictate and work with the team and so on. And after a few weeks, I became really exhausted physically and mentally. And I think you can still see, when I look into the mirror, I look 20 years older. It was really such a hard thing, and I became more and more restless, more and more dissatisfied. This is the mode of passion, you know, which... And then, when it became so bad, I noticed, well, how will you do anything good in this verkrampfte Herangehensweise, in this, you know, if you practice your life like someone who has a seizure. A seizure means like a cramp. How will you do this? You are in Krishna consciousness. Why do you... Everything is under Krishna's control. Give your best and the rest is up to Krishna. And think of him always. You know, and have time enough to be with him in your personal spiritual life and your meditations. No, be Krishna conscious. It was very simple. Don't just come into this. And yeah, but how to get out of it? Do you know what I'm talking about? That sometimes you just go like, and you lose the transcendental perspective, and you, I have to do this, I have to do that, the children, what a stress with these children, the business is not going well, and I have no friends, and my, and you get stuck. I think we all know this, and we lose our higher connection, and there's no, and we feel empty inside, and we don't have that feeling of bathing in an ocean of nectar. We just bathe in an ocean of stress, pure. So, and so I noticed it by Krishna's arrangement, by Krishna's mercy, and yes. So, but how to get out of it? And at that time, I remembered I had read long ago a quote by Leonardo da Vinci. You must be knowing, 15th century man, who is, you know him all by the Da Vinci Code, but he is really more than a painter. He is an astrologer, a mathematician, a scientist. He has knowledge about medicinal life. What is he not?
Artist.
He is an artist of, yes, and thank you, a very famous artist, of course. He was amongst those thinkers who started the Renaissance. They brought out of this old medieval concept, which was before, where you believed in a hierarchical order of life. And when you were born in one area of life, a handwerker, a worksman, you were that. If you were born in a clergy, you were a clergyman. When you were born as a government or in the Fürstenhaus, you were that. A hierarchical order of things which could not be changed. Now the Renaissance said something differently. No, everyone has at every moment all the opportunities. We live in a free world, and we can develop ourselves. We are not stuck with our birth. It's a little bit like the European caste system, this thinking. We can... And Michelangelo said things like, in everyone there's a genius, and so on. That this modern aufgeklärte Denken. So he wrote, this Leonardo da Vinci wrote a quote which I had read many years ago, and I said, this is the right advice now. And I went to my library, a small library, not big, but I found this quote very quickly. And there he says, from time to time, step back. He obviously had in mind what a painter does. Maybe our visual, well, he's very creative, but I don't know if you do it, but I think you have to do it. Like, step back and look from a distance on your painting, and you will notice what you can't see when you are so close, when you are so entangled. You will notice where your painting lacks harmony, where things lack perspective, and you will notice also what doesn't fit any longer. You will take your brush and erase it. So in the same way, he gives the advice, step back from the painting of your life from time to time, and you will see from the distance something which you cannot see when you are very close and totally entangled, we say in our language. You see all of a sudden, oh, here I'm really missing a very important point in my life. Or you will see here, my relationships to others is not really what it should be. It's like the proportions, they don't really die stimmen nicht mehr. They really don't belong here. And in this way, you see in the distance many, many, many new things which you have overlooked when you were so close, so close. Now, I read this for the second time and I thought, yeah, okay, you know, like you go, like, I know Gurahari says, obviously, okay, that means it's not okay. But you think of the possibility if it could be okay. You know, I thought like, okay, like this. And I did, I'm, as you know, I may be a very here and there and there and there with my mind and with my life, but I feel very connected. I feel like a very, let me say, respectful and loving relationship to Srila Prabhupada, which I have. It's very respectful. I'm very careful that I, and there's a lot of affection. So I would like to see this confirmed by someone on the transmitter platform who sees more. And I somehow, how it is, you know, you go, Krishna, please help me. Or I opened the Bhagavatam and there Prabhupada says, a devotee should be like the ocean. So many millions of tons of water evaporate, and so many millions of tons of water are, you know, there's constant things going on, but the ocean remains as it is. There are waves on the surface, but the ocean itself is a shelter to so many living entities. It is absolutely not influenced. And then I said, good, but how to do this? And Prabhupada said, what you do, you just do it as being conscious of the Lord, and you offer your service to Him every day. But well, this sounds very practical, being conscious of the Lord, and you offer your service, your life as a service to Him. And then I thought, oh, good, let me read something about Krishna the person. And then I went to then I was still, let me see, in the Vedic way there is, at the end there is a, there is a subject called unalloyed bhakti, pure bhakti, a real essence bhakti, and it will be taught on the basis of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where the soul's journey back home, back to God, it is illustrated. I think you have heard it. This book, you know this book. So I then spent a whole day with Krishna and Gokumar on his journey back to the Lord. How he, his long journey, how he passes through the different sections. And there was something which struck me very much. It's been aufgefallen. I won't say it now, I will say it a little later. And it, I felt all the stress going. I felt so relieved at heart. Relieved. And I felt so relaxed. And I wrote a poem about this. Step back and relax, old man. You know, and I will publish it, but it will be a little different. A little not so, not like I talk to me, which is quite direct and not very poetically. But yes, and I became really very happy with my life. I thought, what an opportunity I have. The next day I drove with my bicycle, it was winter, it was just a few weeks ago, and sat on a bench, looked out,
like a, you know, as a child I would often go into nature and just dream of the things children dream about, but I also prayed a lot to the Lord. And I was there sitting on the bench overlooking the a big lake and just being there and thinking of Krishna conscious matters as much as possible. So and then I returned with a new perspective really to life, and with solutions to very difficult questions which were haunting me. They were really, ich konnte nicht lösen, I could not really solve them, and with this new perspective, wow, I still, my body is still very exhausted from this period, but I'm very inspired and happy person now. And it was interesting. So my life is still very intense, as you know. So I went to the Avanti school retreat, you know, this school retreat to the 80 teachers, and I met a very dear and near God brother of mine, Akandati Prabhu, who runs this huge retreat center where I was a guest with this teacher group with this retreat. And you know, we had the sessions the whole day, but then there are breakout sessions, you know, where people can do what they want. And one offer which we had is a nature walk, learning from the guru of nature. So we took the teachers with us, Akandati Prabhu and myself, and it was really amazing. We went down the hill to this very nice lake with swans, and we then wanted to circumambulate the lake. But we came to a part which was so muddy and flooded with water that all the teachers, one screamed, "Oh, I'm all wet on the feet," you know. They're not used to what Vishwadeva myself like to do, go out. But then they came to a position of no return. They had to move forward. And it was this high underwater. One teacher lost his boot, you know, he went in, and then he went out, whoops, he took it out. And it was really a path where we had to cross a little bridge which was extremely slippery, and if you fall, you would fall into a little river. You wouldn't drown, but a little riverlet and so on. Everyone survived it, but it was the shock of the life for these city people. Nothing really. You do this in every proper nature walk if you have good boots. But they are no longer used, these young people, to nature. They fear nature. Mm-hmm. So anyways, we had done this, and then he led us by the oldest tree of Great Britain to a tree house. It's like a circle of trees which are there like this. I remember where when Analakshita had the house with Elias, Ram Gopal, there was also these people would plant these trees in a circle. Do you remember? And it was a beautiful place to stay. Beautiful place to stay. So there I gave a lecture learning from the 24 gurus of nature, from the, you know, 11th canto. So then Akandati came. I asked him, "Can you also say something?" He has studied architecture, and a very intelligent, bright person. He said, "Yes, I want to ask you all a question. How did you like the lake?" Did you see the swan couple? They are married since a long time. They are chaste to each other. Have you seen the lake, if I may ask? What did you see? Good question. One said, I saw my wet shoes. The other said, I didn't see anything of the lake or the swans. I just saw, how do I do the next meter? You know, and everyone said like that. And then he said, isn't that strange? You were somewhere, but you didn't see. And then he took it from there. He said, this is how most of us live our life. We see the next steps which we feel we have to do. We see the challenges which we have to meet. We see really a very tiny little part of the world. As if I'm looking through this and I see just a few. Most of you I don't see. I see Tanya and Nama Rushi Abhor and Nandi Mukhi. These are all what I see. The one light, a lot of light there. This is called tunnel vision. And it's a typical problem of the conditioned soul that he gets lost again and again and again as he or she goes through life in this little things which are in the immediate environment, both in the physical and the mental. Also das, was gerade ansteht in der physischen Wirklichkeit und in der mentalen Wirklichkeit. And we don't see beyond this, the spiritual, the fact that we are parts of Krishna, eternal souls. This life, we need to sometimes laugh about ourselves, don't take ourselves that serious. We are only learning and growing in this life. And we don't see the wide horizon. It gets so limited. And we limit ourselves again and again by the pressure which is all around us. And believe it or not, the pressure which most of the time is because of this little person between the two ears, the mind, you know. And we don't see. We see and we don't see. Also as devotees, we are famous for this. I mean, famous, I wouldn't say. We are not at all famous for anything. but we are again and again going through this. So step back and relax. Now, how do you do this? The Chandogya Upanishad says, gives a very interesting answer. It says that there is a sacred space where the soul and God are there right in our bodies. Did you know this? God is in your body. Oops! He's very close. He's not in a building. He's not even... You may not find him in a holy place if you don't discover this place inside the heart. This, they say, come if you want to meet me. In that space inside your heart, where you are there, where the Lord, your Lord is there, where eternity is there, come there. If you wish to find me, there's always a divine sound in this place, and so on. They talk like this in the language. And Prabhupada, this place is known in all traditions. Mother Teresa calls it, not Mother Teresa, Teresa of Avila
calls it the interior castle, das Schloss im Inneren, das innere Schloss. Meister Eckhart calls it the inner church. He almost got burned because of that, a mistake, because he said you can't find the Lord outside, you have to find him inside. The Buddhistic people call it the lotus of the heart, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur calls it the temple of the heart. Prabhupada referred to it as a level of consciousness, which he described as being above the clouds. Those of you who take sometimes flights know what this, when you go through the Wolkendecke, the covering of the clouds, you and your plane goes through, it's all bad weather and all frustrating German climate and so on, and then you go through that layer and then you are surrounded by light, the light of the sun. So Prabhupada called it like this. How to get there to this into the temple of the heart, or in this place where the soul and the super soul is there. I want to give here prescriptions, because you know the philosophy, but what you have to find out is you have to find out your philosophy, or what I mean with this is your own way in Krishna consciousness that helps you to come out of this embarrassing situation of being totally entangled outside and forgetting about the space within. That you really have to find out for yourself. There are many, many, there's a lot of help from the traditions. There are paths, Panchanga Bhakti, and this and that and so on, and you can come there. Gokrishna told me something which worked for him, and I have this experience also. He sat in the kirtan for a few days, for 8 hours. He figured normal people go to work for 8 hours, I can sit in the kirtan for 8 hours, and he was at 8 to 10 hours, and he felt totally, at first he felt the mind, then he felt the body, and then he felt the soul. You know, it's very simple. You focus on one thing, the holy name, one mantra at a time, and you are out of this world. In South India, there are often these big processions with deities, and the elephant comes down the road and carries the deity, but the elephant doesn't think about this. He thinks, wow, there's an ananas here, there's a mango there. And as he goes through these narrow little streets, he just takes with his trunk whatever tastes good, which is a big problem for the shop owners, because they are poor people. Do you know what they do at that time? They give the elephant, the mahout, gives him a little stick in the trunk. And now he only knows stick, 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 and keeps it there. So the same holds true. Our mind goes through this world accepting, rejecting, and mostly being stressed out and miserable, because it engages with our environment on an unenlightened platform. It doesn't have to be like this. When you are in good consciousness, you go through the world and everywhere you find inspirations and teachings. But mostly we are like an elephant, and we grab things, or thoughts or concepts or problems mostly, and so on. It put the mantra there, inside. Then that will stop. If you can tolerate Krishna, Most Hare Krishnas can't tolerate Krishna. That is, be with Krishna for a long time. Mm. But yes, you can train yourself to do this. And as you hold on to the mantra, you will see something which is not explained in this analogy. The mantra will bring you to the... It's a yoga dharma. That's what we do in Kali Yuga. It will bring you to the platform above the clouds, where you can see so many things and realize so many things. Mm. You will come to a platform, first of all, of no mind. My dear devotees, if you are on the mental platform, you can have the best concepts about your Siddha Deha, the most advanced teachings of Raganuga. It's all a concept built in your mind by mental association with things you know. The spiritual world is always inconceivable. You cannot make a picture of it in the mind. It will remain beyond. It's better than anything, and so on. Your mind must be purified from the sanskaras, the mental impressions from so many lifetimes. It must, and that happens only by Krishna's mercy. When he comes in your mind in his sonic form means the form of divine sound, and then it purifies, and then you see everything. Of course, some guidance is very good for if you wish to advance in your spiritual life. I'm not saying that it's not valuable, but it remains all concepts, just concepts by the thinking mind, if you do not find Krishna's help, who can bring the darkness out of your mind. So I was really very grateful when this experience came. I will come to an end now. As I told you, I thought, to get out of this now, only Krishna can help me to do this. Ich bin festgefahren, we say in German, like this. I'm stuck. No, what do I do? I will chant more, then I will get informations about Krishna from the holy scripture. That's a transcendental source. And I will then think about this. And I read about Gop Kumar, how he comes back to the spiritual world. I'd read this many times, but this time it really spoke to me completely different. Gop Kumar came after a long, very interesting journey, where he saw the different forms of God in the different planetary systems, and he went through the Brahman, the Mahakala, where he almost lost the vision of the Lord. And finally, after he had received instruction from Uddhava and Narada Muni, he arrived in Vrindavan, but no one was home. He arrived in the fields. People were working on the fields, but when he asked them, "Where are we?" they didn't answer, because Krishna had taken their minds. He had left the village of Vrindavan in the morning, and those who loved him more than their own breath, they had gone in the absorption with Krishna. Their bodies were there, but their minds were not there. So he tried to find out, where is Krishna? No one could answer him, until he came to an old man who sat on the steps leading up to Nanda Bhavan, to Nanda's residence. And the old man said, "This the house of Nanda Maharaj." Wow! Nanda Maharaj is, there is
Krishna.
I reached the Supreme. But so he just sat there on the steps, because the old man said, informed him, Krishna is not here, and then started to cry. he said to him, waited. Then all of a sudden, all the Brijvasis of the town went, as if they had heard something, to the town's gate and waited there, and he went along with them. And then he saw an amazing scene. He saw in the distance a dust cloud. And from the dust cloud, he heard the sounds of flutes. And then he saw from time to time like a bluish effulgence coming out of that cloud and touching his eyes. And then he saw the next thing is the Yamuna stopped and began flowing in the other direction towards where the cows were coming, who raised this huge dust cloud. And he felt overwhelmed with divine ecstasy. And finally, out of the dust cloud, he sees Krishna coming, playing with his flute. So Kumar is overwhelmed with ecstatic emotions and runs towards Krishna. I think you know that. He runs and calls out, Kanaya, Krishna. And then he sees how Krishna becomes aware of him and starts running towards him. And midway, they meet, and Krishna first looks at him, embraces him, and said, where were you? I have so long waited for you. I have looked down this path. Where? And then Krishna is overwhelmed with feelings and falls onto the ground and cries so much that the ground becomes full of mud. The dust mixes with his tears, becomes mud. And all the Brijbasis think, oh no, demon has entered to kill our Krishna. And they are really hostile. You know, and they close in, they come closer to Kumar. And he sees all these effulgent personalities. A moment ago he was so happy to be amongst them. Now they are thinking he has done violence to their only lord of the heart. The clever Balaram steps forward, and he of course understands the situation. He's the Adi Guru, the older brother of Krishna, and he keeps everyone, and he then says to Gokuma, you have to solve this situation, come with me. And he pulls him down and he shows him how to remove the dust from Krishna's face, how to clean Krishna. And as Krishna feels the touch of his dear devotee, he comes back and looks at Gokumar, just so happy to have him return. And at that moment, Gopkumar is brought into this eternal spiritual identity. And yes, and Krishna takes him up and says, you have come, you have really done me the greatest imaginable favor. Now stay with me. And he takes Gopkumar by the hand and doesn't let him go any longer. He keeps him always by the side. So I read this, and difficult to express in words. I can express it, but I have to find the right words. I just know. And Bhuta Bhavana, that coach who gave a lecture in the temple at the Sangha Mela, he's coaching people, he confirmed it. He said, it has been found that people who feel loved,
they develop more inner strength, and if the English word is resilience, Gaurav Bhavani, you are the expert in language. What is it? Wie sagt man das?
In Deutsch sagt man inzwischen auch Resilienz, aber es ist eine Widerstandskraft.
Eine Widerstandskraft.
Ja. Also eine Toleranz gegenüber widrigen Umständen, also gut mit widrigen Umständen umzugehen.
Ja.
Du weißt es wahrscheinlich
besser. So kann man sagen. Yeah, so it's like an inner strength which helps you to deal maturely even with obstacles on your part, with things which go wrong. I think Shyamala knows this because she has taken care of her children. I mean, you all do, but I was visiting Shyamala and the children. They are so much loved. They're so much loved by a stern mother. It's not a Persian love is strong, and they have come out very nice as a result. They can deal with life. No, they are able to do many many things and are really aware people, important, responsible. And I just met one of them. Was Radhika? Radhika? Nicht Radhika. Das ist wieder anders. Ja. Ja, Radhika. Yeah. I saw them. Both of the children are really because of that love. And I'm also, although my father was so strong with me and pushing me like anything. My mother was the exact opposite. Whenever I was crying because my father punished me, my mother was there. Don't take him so serious. And I have made this pot of pudding for you, and it was my favorite pudding, wackel pudding. You know, it looks green or pink, and then you go like, and then it moves, and you know. I was really happy with my bucket particular. Whenever I got the bride. And that's why I also, although I'm a little sensitive by nature, but yes, I can go through life with happiness, and I'm usually jolly and happy. Because then I thought, and here we see how Krishna apparently missed this one soul and is crying with happiness and says, you brought a good fortune to my family because he came back. And he says, I looked down the path whether you would come, but you did not really show interest. So he remained the lonely lover, the einsame Liebende, for a long time. And I was thinking... back into my life, I can see so many times where Krishna, despite my many mistakes, has seemed to love me. He's very, very lovable. I received a little gift for my birthday, which I want to show you. I hope it's here somewhere. It's hopefully it's there. Can't guarantee you. I try. Really not necessary. For Krishna, we have to. I found it. Here you see the monks, they are not even have time to put their bags in order. This pen says something.
I can't read. I love Radha Govinda, and Radha Govinda loves me.
simple little thing for a sentimental old man. I love Radha Govinda, and Radha Govinda love me. So I have seen this many times. It is really, really, really very nice. And the moment I remember this, there is a loving relationship. Things are perfect on that level. I feel the stress goes away because I have stepped back from my life. I've relaxed and I've seen it from a new perspective. And I discovered the points which I missed. I discovered the points which are now necessary for my life. And therefore I can only say, step back from the painting of your life before it gets too stressful, go into the space where you remember the things which matter most in your life. And I'm sure, because you will discover solutions to questions which and stress and whatever which you may have overlooked. Prabhupada once said something to God. Do you remember? Some of you remember, they have maybe distributed this book, Perfect Question, Perfect Answer. You may have read. There Prabhupada discusses with Bob Cohen, a peace worker. And when this was over, Bob was fascinated by Krishna consciousness, but he thought, that's not for me. Prabhupada commented, Bob wants to join us, but he can't do it because he's attached to smoking marijuana with his friends. Prabhupada is very direct. And this was the fact, So Prabhupada felt deep compassion for him, and after the discussion, which became a book, he asked him to come to Calcutta. The discussion took place in Sridharmayapur. He asked him to come to Calcutta and see him one more time. Prabhupada had a very simple message. He said, Krishna consciousness is so simple that you might miss it. You might overlook it. And I like this pen. It is so simple, But that's the fact. You are in a loving relationship. And when you hear in this word, you have given up the relationship which matters most in your life and have surrounded yourself with temporary things. And bhajan means to correct this mistake, to again turn to Krishna and be active in that relationship. That's what bhajan means. We would say sadhana in our circles, and this word to practice means just to correct this mistake that we have surrounded ourselves with things which are not essential, but they stress us. And Krishna consciousness, we turn to Krishna with the idea to come to the essential point. So Krishna. I wanted to share this because it's something which is alive in me. I have made this mistake a few weeks ago. I'm not perfect. I will make the mistake maybe again, but I remember, step back and gain a new perspective where you connect yourselves with the essential things, and then you can solve your life very easily. It's very easy. Most of the time, the things take care of themselves. That's what I have seen when you are in Krishna consciousness. You don't need to massage the material energy. Or push the river. No need. When you are
Krishna consciousness things usually take care. Some little things need to be also done, especially when we are working and to translate our realizations into the working environment and so on, of course. Dobro. Good. Thank you very much for listening. I hope I could say something which was relevant for you, because I wanted to share with you, because it helped me so much. I think it could help you also. Should we just end this part of the program with a little kirtan? Yes. Yeah? Just 5 minutes, two minutes, 3 minutes.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
And I have an invitation for all of you. Comes from the heart. On Saturday I celebrate birthday. You are welcome. There's good cake and everything is there. Saturday, please. If you have time, you're very much welcome. Hare Krishna.